Good morning, everyone. Reading in Jesus' name. We could keep singing, couldn't we? I enjoyed that. Enjoyed the singing this morning, the devotions, and Sunday school. And I guess I feel a little bit the same way Jeff said he did about doesn't feel like we have anything new. But this is the Christmas season, and it's actually the most wonderful story ever told. And I guess, like he was saying also, there's nothing new necessarily, so you will hear some things repeated probably that were already said this morning. But I guess the title of the message is Christ in Your Christmas? It's only 3 days till Christmas. How do you feel about that? Do you enjoy the Christmas season and the Christmas vibes? Quite likely you've already begun the holiday season, whatever you need to do for that, you're gearing up for it. Generally speaking, for most people, it's a happy time of year, and everyone looks forward to Christmas. Probably varies a bit on from personalities, traditions, ages, and maybe even finances, how we feel about Christmas. I have wonderful childhood memories of Christmas. My parents never really did much for Christmas as far as celebration, gifts, and so on, but almost every year on Christmas Day, that was the day we went to Grandpa Mellinger's. It was a day we got to see a lot of uncles and aunts we hadn't, and cousins we hadn't seen for a while. So lots of good family time. Grandpas would have a gift for everyone, and if that's a practice your family does over Christmas, you understand the big deal it is as a child. We think it's like the best part of Christmas, and you hardly can wait till the gift opening time. Someone would always talk about the meaning of Christmas a bit. We play games, sing around the piano. I think that really was one of my favorites, especially as I got older. And my wife and I were talking about that a little the other day. How are we defining Christmas for our family? What traditions and good memories are our children going to remember? Rachel remembers waking up to hear Christmas music playing every Christmas morning, walking into Goodest Papa's house and getting Goodest Mama's hug, singing and saying verses by memory, and then that special bag afterwards. For my family, Christmas Day mostly revolved around family, as I was saying, family gathering in Grandpa's house. I have very few, if any, memories of it really being at home, especially in my younger years, and that's good. Grandpa's house was what made Christmas, and my parents made sure that we experience that good experience. My father would remind us different times. I remember usually we'd go up the night before, stay at Grandpa's every night, and sometimes traveling to Grandpa's, Dad would talk about what's the meaning of Christmas. My memories of Christmas aren't as vivid as my wife's, I don't think, but the more I pondered and reminisced, the more I realized and remembered the efforts that my parents made for Christmas to for it to be a good time, but also a meaningful time, and a time to pause and think about the meaning of Christmas. I suggested earlier that age is a factor to how we might feel about Christmas. When I was young, Christmas was the best because I got a gift from Grandpa's, and I also can remember specifically one time when I woke up at Grandpa's the one Christmas morning, and my father had gotten bags and bags of candy and dumped them into big fancy dishes. It was a lot of candy, at least from a child's point of view. And if you know me well enough, you probably are chuckling already and say, that makes sense. That's why Elden and candy go together. But now the point I'm getting to is we all have fond memories of Christmas to some degree or another. And as we get older and some of those things don't happen anymore, or maybe they do happen, and we somehow try to recreate that same experience. But then we just can't create that same childlike moment of pure joy like we remember. We want this perfect Christmas. We want our children to experience this perfect Christmas like we had. But somehow it doesn't feel the same. So thank God for the meaning of Christmas. If our focus is only on gifts, fun times, and good memories, we are in for some kind of disappointment the day after Christmas or even sooner. Keeping Christ in Christmas will bring about fond memories and meaningful times for us and our children for years to come. keeping Christ in Christmas is more than keeping it in the word Christmas. It's how we celebrate Christmas. Maybe you've read the article recently about the nativity scene in the city of Kelowna, not far from here at all. And it's been the tradition for years to place a nativity scene at Cary Park. This year there was an addition to that nativity scene, but it lasted only for a short time, a sign which read, "Keep Christ in Christmas." In short order, the Kelowna Atheist Skeptics and Humanists Association lobbied to have it taken down, and it was taken down. I've seen multiple signs with the X instead of Christ. I'm sure you have too. It's not just a Kelowna problem, but it's here too, and it's all over the world. So I guess the question I have for us this morning is, have we taken that sign down? Or maybe we never put it up. True meaning in Christmas is found only in Jesus. It's a years-long thing, really, when we keep Christ in Christmas. But since it's tis the season and all on our minds, what are we doing to keep Christ in Christmas, Christ in our life? And I know we read this in our Sunday school, but let me turn to Luke chapter 2. Some of these verses we read, but I'd really like to read this story. Luke 2, verses 1 through 20. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary, and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." Isn't that an exciting story? And I never tire of reading it. Maybe it's because it's a story we've heard as a child and it brings back good memories. A story that never grows old. Even though this happened many, many years ago, this story, this event happened to ordinary people. The only extraordinary person was the baby Jesus. God used normal things and normal people to help fulfill his plan for mankind. Tax time, I think Dale mentioned that in Sunday school. We can all identify with that. That God made it happen that Joseph and Mary traveled to Bethlehem at this particular time. Maybe we are thinking about this kind of thing as well. It's the end of the year, and maybe it was an especially hard year, higher cost of living and inflation. But it's life. It's normal life, just like it was for these folks many years ago. God used this ordinary event to bring Mary and Joseph directly to Bethlehem, where Jesus was prophesied to be born, and that's in Micah 5, verse 2. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of these shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." We look at Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and everyone that had something to do with baby Jesus and his life. We look at them and maybe we're a bit jealous and think that they had something that we missed out on. But the truth of the matter is that this story can be just as real for everyone, because Jesus has come. He did this great work of reaching mankind, and he will now live in our hearts if we ask him to. Yes, ordinary people in our ordinary life, too. God has his unique place for you, the same as he did for Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, and everyone else that was touched by those events that day. It was for everyone. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus' humble arrival should encourage us. It doesn't matter who we are or where we are from. He chose to identify with us. The shepherds, again, we have normal people living their ordinary lives, tending to their flocks. However, I had to think about this. What about all the other shepherds out there? Were these shepherds the only ones out there that night? I don't think they were. This was a common practice in those days. I suppose we should challenge ourselves with, are we paying attention? I don't want to take anything out of context, but is it possible that many more shepherds and people could have witnessed this event and also felt the urge to see the baby Jesus if they only had been paying attention? Do we feel our life is pretty ordinary, maybe too ordinary? There certainly are no angel voices and messages being heard from our hillside. Keeping Christ in Christmas doesn't happen on its own. Extraordinary events and miraculous things can happen under our seemingly normal life. Keeping Christ in Christmas is keeping Christ in our occupation. It's keeping Christ in our everyday life. It's hearing the angels' voices on our hillside, and I'm convinced that God's voice is still heard today, and sometimes even audibly. And just the other day, I had a friend tell me how he heard the voice of God, and I believe him. I believe he heard the voice of God. He made a change in his life. Are we paying attention and keeping Christ in Christmas? For the wise men in the Matthew story, it's seeing the star in the east. We put our sights where we want to end up. Without taking steps to keep Christ in Christmas, we aren't going to end up where we expected to. And I'd like to read this story as well. You turn to Matthew 2. Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born, king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child, Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. The wise men were another group, the people that were paying attention and saw the signs of the good news that God was showing to all of mankind. King Herod and all of Jerusalem were troubled by it. They didn't have the same open hearts to what God had for them as the wise men did. And we know the rest of the story, how Herod only pretended to be interested in order to try and get rid of this so-called newborn king. He felt threatened. He later then ordered the slaying of all the children 2 years and under. Hearts without the true meaning of Christmas destroy lives. No meaning for themselves personally and no blessing to others in any way. To what extent will a hard heart seek for meaning in life without the true source of meaning? We see it all around us. We say it's all around us, but how about making it personal? Do we have a void in our life that we are trying to fill, or a dissatisfaction and grievance we are trying to get rid of? We blame everyone else rather than look at our own hearts. The wise men, when they saw Jesus, they worship. True meaning in Christmas will require acknowledgement and a setting aside for him. Worship the newborn king. These wise men, when they saw Jesus, they worshiped. They found meaning in the giving of the treasures. Is there significance in this? I think there is. We give of our best to Jesus. We give what we hold near and dear. This idea of gift-giving at Christmas, there are varied feelings on this. Christmas has some pagan origins, so I think that makes it especially important that we keep our focus on keeping Christ in Christmas. Some people choose not to give gifts, and we should respect that. However, how about we take Christmas as a time to celebrate Jesus? How about we make it a time that we especially share God's love and anything that we have to those around us? Show everyone what the true meaning of Christmas is. Put Christ in Christmas, even for those who have no idea there is such a thing. Jerry mentioned in the Christmas program devotions of how they went home another way. Allow the Christmas story to change your life. When God speaks, go home another way, a changed person. Back to the shepherds. The shepherds, when they heard the good news, they acted on it immediately. If you're like me, Christmas Day arrives very fast and we feel very unprepared. Maybe it has to do with a gift, and suddenly I realize I can't get this gift for my wife for Christmas simply because I waited too long. There's no way it will arrive in time. We get through those things, or maybe we settle for a different gift or let her down and give it after Christmas. But on a more serious note, what are we doing with the traditions or the things that are important? Are we acting now? Our children will be grown before we know it, and if we have no traditions or experiences we wish they would experience, they won't have those wonderful memories to enjoy. Traditions are important and things that our families can enjoy. But even more important than that, again, is Christ in Christmas. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. Shepherds came with haste. They found him, and they made known abroad that he was born. We act now, and we follow through with it till we find him. Those things of value that we want for ourselves and for our families, we seek, we work. We commit and tirelessly carry on. Tirelessly doesn't always feel that way if we are realistic with ourselves, but we know the promise that Jesus has. It's worth it. We're going to keep Christ in Christmas. It says, when they had seen it, they made known abroad. Just as we read about in the wise men account, others heard about it too. Some we know weren't very responsive. Others probably passed it off fairly quickly, didn't think too much of it at all. I'm sure there were those that the Bible doesn't mention as well, who thought of these things years down the road, and maybe they later became followers of Christ. Mary here, pondered these things in her heart. Do you ever wonder what God is trying to tell you? Maybe the answer will not be today. Maybe the things that are happening don't make sense, but we tuck them away and treasure our journey with God and our special lot in life. Years down the road, maybe it will all be clear. Mary saw the greatest story of all unfold before her eyes. She was used of God in a mighty way. God is using you. Don't question it. Ponder it and take the steps you need to as God leads you. Mary fulfilled her role as an ordinary mother, and yet she was the mother of the Savior of the world. And mothers, that can be a message directly to you. But it really is a message for everyone. You have a special place in God's great plan. Let's look next at the angel's message. It was a message from God, a message of hope. This was a dark period of time, hard time for a lot of people. Many were waiting for this promised Messiah and King to give them freedom, good tidings, and great joy. That message still rings clear today. This message is for everyone. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The angels were so excited about it, they worshiped and praised God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. We too have a lot to praise God for. This message still brings joy to us. It brings meaning to Christmas. Peace to men, in spite of all the turmoil, wars, hard things going on in the world. Maybe our bittersweet Christmases. Maybe there's somebody we wish we could spend Christmas with again. The person that really made our Christmas real or meaningful to a point. And in spite of all the pagan and ungodly influences around Christmas, I am convinced that God, because of the abundant and overflowing love he has for mankind and the power of God's love in believers, that the peace and joy can spill over into even the hardest hearts all around the world. Maybe they don't try to keep Christ in Christmas like we mentioned earlier, or even want Christ to be in Christmas, but there's the wonderful promise that Christ will always be in Christmas. He will not leave. He promises peace and goodwill, and praise God, we still have peace and goodwill, and peace and goodwill will triumph. What is your Christmas story going to be this year? Do you feel already a sense of emptiness and void? Or are you already touched by God's love and reaching out to those around you? Could it be anything like the stories we hear? There's a story I read, and I'm going to read it here shortly, that happened in 1949. I think I'll close with this story. Herman and I finally locked our store and dragged ourselves home to South Caldwell Street. It was 11 o'clock p.m., Christmas Eve of 1949. We were dog tired. Ours was one of those big, old general appliance stores that sold everything from refrigerators and toasters and record players to bicycles and dollhouses and games. We sold almost all our toys, and all the layaways except one package had not been picked up. Usually, Herman and I kept the store open until everything had been picked up. We knew we wouldn't have awakened very happy on Christmas morning knowing that some little child's gift was back on the layaway shelf, but the person who had put a dollar down on that package never appeared. Early Christmas morning, our 12-year-old son, Tom and Herman, and I were out in the living room opening up gifts. But I tell you, there was something very humdrum about this Christmas. Tom was growing up. He hadn't wanted any toys, just clothes and games. I missed his childish exuberance of past years. As soon as breakfast was over, Tom left to visit his friend next door. And Herman disappeared into the bedroom, mumbling, "I'm going back to sleep. There's nothing left to stay up for anyway." So there I was, alone, doing the dishes and feeling very let down. It was nearly 9 o'clock, and sleet mixed with snow cut the air outside. The wind rattled our windows, and I felt grateful for the warmth of the apartment. Sure glad I don't have to go out on a day like today, I thought to myself, picking up the wrappings and ribbons strewn around the living room. And then it began, something I'd never experienced before, a strange, persistent urge. Go to the store, it seemed to say. I looked at the icy sidewalk outside. That's crazy, I said to myself. I tried dismissing the thought, but it wouldn't leave me alone. Go to the store. Well, I wasn't going to go. I'd never gone to the store on Christmas Day in all the 10 years we'd owned it. No one opened shop on that day. There wasn't any reason to go. I didn't want to, and I wasn't going to. For an hour, I fought that strange feeling. Finally, I couldn't stand it any longer, and I got dressed. Herman, I said, feeling silly, I think I'll walk down to the store. Herman woke up with a start. Whatever for? What are you going to do there? Oh, I don't know, I replied lamely. There's not much to do here. I just think I'll wander down. He argued against it a little, but I told him that I'd be back soon. Well, go on, he grumped, but I don't see any reason for it. I put on my gray wool coat and a warm gray cap on my head, then my boots and my red scarf and gloves. Once outside, none of these garments seemed to help. The wind cut right through me and the sleet stung my cheeks. I groped my way along the mile down to 117 East Park Avenue, slipping and sliding all the way. I shivered and tucked my hands inside the pockets of my coat to keep them from freezing. I felt ridiculous. I had no business being out in that bitter chill. There was the store just ahead. The sign announced radio electronics sales and service, and the big glass windows jutted out onto the sidewalk. But what in the world? In front of the store stood two little boys huddled together, one about 9 and the other 6. Here she comes, yelled the older one. He had his arm around the younger. See, I told you she would come, he said jubilantly. The two little children were half frozen. The younger one's face was wet with tears, but when he saw me, his eyes opened wide and his sobbing stopped. What are you two children doing out here in this freezing rain? I scolded, hurrying them into the store and turning up the heat. You should be at home on a day like this. They were poorly dressed. They had no hats or gloves, and their shoes barely held together. I rubbed their small, icy hands and got them up close to the heater. "We've been waiting for you," replied the older. "They have been standing outside since 9 o'clock, the time I normally open the store." "Why were you waiting for me?" I asked, astonished. "My little brother Jimmy didn't get any Christmas." He touched Jimmy's shoulder. "We want to buy some skates. That's what he wants. We have these $3. "See, Miss Lady," he said, pulling the money from his pocket. I looked at the dollars in his hand. I looked at their expectant faces. And then I looked around the store. "I'm sorry," I said, "but we've sold almost everything. We have no skates." Then my eye caught sight of the layaway shelf with its one lone package. I tried to remember what was in it. "Wait a minute," I told the boys. I walked over, picked up the package, unwrapped it. And miracle of miracles, there was a pair of skates. Jimmy reached for them. "Lord," I said silently, "let them be his size." And miracle added upon miracle, they were his size. When the older boy finished tying laces on Jimmy's right foot and saw that the skate fit perfectly, he stood up and presented the dollars to me. "No, I'm going to take your money." "No, I'm not going to take your money," I told him. "I couldn't take this money. I want you to have these skates, and I want you to use your money to get some gloves for your hands." The two boys just blinked at first, then their eyes became like saucers, and their grins stretched wide when they understood I was giving them the skates, and I didn't want their $3. What I saw in Jimmy's eyes was like a blessing. It was pure joy, and it was beautiful. My low spirits rose. After the children had warmed up, I turned down the heater, and we walked out together. As I locked the door, I turned to the older brother and said, "How lucky that I happened to come along when I did. If you'd stood there much longer, you'd have frozen. But how did you boys know I would come?" I wasn't prepared for this, for his reply. His gaze was steady, and he answered me softly. "I knew you would come," he said. "I asked Jesus to send you." The tingles in my spine weren't from the cold. God had planned this. As we waved goodbye, I turned home to a brighter Christmas than I had left. Tom brought his friend over to our house. Herman got out of bed, and his father and sister Ella came by. We had a wonderful dinner and a wonderful time. But the one thing that made that Christmas really wonderful was the one thing that makes every Christmas wonderful. Jesus was there. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." We may not be the shepherds on the hillside or the wise men who follow the star, but we are ordinary people just like them. We have the same promise that Christ is born. Christ brings joy. Christ brings peace and goodwill. So keep Christ in Christmas. Put Christ in Christmas for somebody. And be a part of the amazing message of peace and goodwill towards men. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you sent your son Jesus to this world to save us from our sins. And we thank you that we can have this time of year especially to celebrate Christ's birth. Pray you would help us to keep our focus on Christmas, the Christ in Christmas, and not only now, but all through our life. Pray that you would be with those who are having a rough time. Maybe they're facing death, sickness, memories of loved ones, and so on. Lord, just be very near to them. Pray you would protect us this week. Bless those who may be traveling for the holidays, and help us all to stay true to you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.